This Bible talk, titled New Creation Order, is on Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 to chapter 4, verse 1. It was recorded at Robina on Sunday, the 30th of August, 2020, and is the seventh sermon in our series in Colossians, Renewed Image.
I'm not sure if you were listening during the Bible reading, but it feels like an impossible ask. It's too difficult. It's too hard. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. It feels like an impossible ask. And the bushfires currently burning in Northern California are now the largest fires on record in that state's history. Like our Victoria, California is a place where they are familiar with bushfires. These fires in California are already mind-bogglingly huge, and they are still growing. 13,700 firefighters are currently battling the blazes. 8 people have lost their lives. Thousands have lost their homes and their businesses. Many are seeking emergency accommodation. It's a difficult situation in California, only compounded more by our global health crisis. This situation in California is out of control, and speaking into it requires sensitivity and compassion. It requires a voice of mercy and grace. But here's what President Trump said about the fires. You've got to clean your floors. You've got to clean your forests. There are many, many years of leaves and broken trees, and they are like so flammable, you touch them and it goes up. Maybe we're just going to have to make them pay for it in California because they're not listening to us. No inspiration, no compassion, no mercy, just asking the impossible. Look, I understand what he's saying. Forests need backburning. I get that. But seriously, how do you make a forest less foresty? It's an already difficult and flammable situation. It feels like an impossible ask. Hoping for some compassion and some inspiration this morning as you hear Paul's words from his letter to the Colossians. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Maybe that feels like an impossible ask for you. We're in our series on Colossians, a series called Renewed Image, a new humanity in the new creation. That's what Colossians chapters 1 to 3 has been about. Renewed in the image of our Creator God. Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is the Saviour of a universal church. Jew, Gentile, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, renewed in the image of our Creator. Raised up with Christ in the new creation, gathered together as his new creation community. The fullness of God in the fullness of Christ is now the fullness of God in us. That's what we've been reading about in Colossians, isn't it? Jesus is the firstborn over the creation. He is the firstborn over his church. All things created through him and for him. All things redeemed and reconciled to him. Heaven and earth, visible and invisible, thrones, powers, rulers and authorities, all things subjected to him, subordinate and in submission to the lordship of the Lord of all. Jesus Christ is the ruler. That's what Colossians says very clearly. The head over every power and authority. He has defeated all that remains in subversion, triumphant in his public spectacle of humiliation. Now, having just told the Colossians they've been renewed in the image of their Creator, having just told them to put off the new self in chapter 3, compassion, kindness, humility, patience, and gentleness, having instructed them to forgive one another as they've been forgiven by God and to be bound together in perfect unity with one another, having just been called to peace with the peace of Christ ruling their hearts, having just been called to worship God with thanksgiving in everything, Paul now asks the impossible. What feels like an impossible ask? Wives, submit to your husbands. And suddenly there is division in the room and not a lot of worship and thanksgiving going on. Submission is a word that sends chills and raises alarm bells, doesn't it? It's the reason why some people think marriage is antiquated or optional. Submission to modern ears doesn't sound like love. It sounds like slavery and inequality. But in a patriarchal culture like Colossae in first century male-dominated Roman Empire, I want you to see who Paul addresses first in verse 18. Can you see that with me? It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." Paul is addressing wives first, and ladies, it sounds like an impossible ask, doesn't it? It's not husbands, make your wives submit to you, but wives, submit yourselves to him. Submission is something that a wife gives. It's entered into voluntarily by her. She does it willfully and willingly in love. In marriage, in Christian marriage, submission is an act of love. It's not always joyful to submit, is it? But when is it ever joyful to set aside your own desires for someone else? Submission is not given in fearful retribution, not in the degrading of dignity, value, or self-worth, but it is offered willingly as an act of self-giving love. All that Christ creates is all that he redeems, a new humanity subject to the lordship of Jesus. Former Anglican Archbishop of Sydney, Peter Jensen, said this, using the terminology of the Bible as an excuse to demand slave-like civility or even in physical or emotional bullying is to misuse it utterly, and no wife should feel spiritually obligated to accept such treatment. But the wife subordinates herself to her husband. She surrenders in love to his loving servant-like leadership. She subjects herself and her desires to him. See it now, because, can you see it in the passage? Because this is fitting in the Lord. Not fitting because the husband is Lord, but because Jesus is her Lord. Jesus determines what is appropriate and acceptable. Lordship belongs exclusively to Jesus. Submission to your husband is the nitty-gritty practical confession of Christ's lordship over your life. Submission to Jesus in everything because he rules over all things. All things submit to Jesus, so the wife subjects her desires to her husband. Not so that her husband can please himself, but in order to love her. Can you see that with me in verse 19? Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Brothers, I want you to notice something, and that is the word and. Love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Not love her by not being harsh with her. Loving and not being harsh, they are two separate things. Harsh means being bitter. Harsh means creating bitterness in others. Godliness doesn't raise its voice in anger. Godliness doesn't raise its hand into a fist. Ever. Godliness means raising her needs above yours, loving your wife and not being harsh with her. Willingly, she submits herself, her desires to you. Willingly, you surrender your desires for her. It's a beautiful picture of what marriage, Christian marriage, should look like. It is the reversal of Eden's curse. Now, submitting and surrendering to one another doesn't mean that you become this indecisive couple who can't decide on whether it's Chinese or Thai for dinner every night or whose turn it is to take out the garbage. It's always your turn. Love and submission are two sides of the same coin, deciding together to put each other's needs first. It's the practical working out of the lordship of Christ in the bathroom, in the bedroom, in the kitchen, at your place. You see, the lordship of Jesus is both universal and residential. This is where Jesus and Christianity becomes very practical, where we move beyond the world of ideas and ideals and it becomes located as a residential address. All things created for him, all things reconciled to him, including your marriage, and even your kids. See it with me, verse 19. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now that feels like an impossible ask, doesn't it? Especially if you're the parent of small children. Jesus is Lord of your children. Your children are under his lordship. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus is available for you to do babysitting. You can't give them back to him either. Seriously, the number of parents who want their kids to memorize Colossians 3:19 have this verse printed out in color, laminated and hung on your teenager's door. What a good idea. Wives, submit to their husbands as is fitting, but children, can you see it there? Obey their parents in everything. And everything kind of means everything. Obey your parents in everything. Submission and obedience are two different things. Wives are called to submit. Children are told to obey. Submission is given voluntarily amongst equals, but obedience is given to those who are in authority. Position and posture, the positioning and posturing of parents isn't equality, but authority and influence. If everyone has equal rights and say at your place, friend, your household is out of order. Children, obey their parents in everything. See it now. Why? Because this pleases the Lord. You see, this isn't some lofty heavenly ideal. This is faith expressed in the tin-tack day-to-day of living. Notice who Paul addresses next in verse 20. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. It's not mothers, do not embitter your children, is it? And it's not parents, don't provoke your kids. Daddy, your father is now talking to you. Harshness comes from bitterness. Provocation causes bitterness in others. Making standards of obedience unattainable only causes bitterness in your children. They won't always obey you in everything. But even when we fail, our Father in heaven shows mercy to us, doesn't he? See that with me, Psalm 103, verse 13. I love this verse. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Start looking for ways to be merciful to your children. Have compassion on your kids when they get it wrong. Dad, if they can never please you, you know, eventually they're just going to stop trying. Discouraged, despondent, and disheartened. That is not how our Heavenly Father treats us, is it? Obedience is given to those who are in authority. Servants are called to obey, and we've been called to obey. Look there, verse 22. Obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. In Roman culture, slaves were property. Slaves were under the lordship of their masters. They were bought and sold at will and whim. But notice how Paul refocuses their direct, how he redirects their focus as slaves. Can you see it with me? He calls them earthly masters. He tells them to work for the Lord. He tells them their reward is an inheritance, not a wage. He tells them that they serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly the focus of slaves and their labor is now on Jesus, isn't it? He is their Lord and Master. They serve a heavenly master by obeying their earthly one. Let me just say a couple of things at this point. You are not a first century slave in the Roman Empire. I'm sorry to disappoint you if you thought you were. You might feel like you are chained to your job. You might feel like your boss owns your life at times. But unless you're a professional sportsman who gets bought and sold by masters, unless you live under the same roof as your boss, then you are not a slave. But there are some similarities here for us, some things that we can take with us back to the office come Monday. Because the Lordship of Jesus isn't some far-off concept. It's real and it's practical and it needs to be lived out by us. Being a Christian goes to work with you during the weekdays and it comes home with you of an evening. Recently, a survey of Christians revealed that 70% of us, 70% of Christians, don't see how their work serves God in any way. 78% of Christians think that their employment is not as important for God as my work is as a pastor. 78%. They see a gulf between what happens on Sunday and what they do on Monday. There is a disconnection in their lives lived for the Lord. And if you think that way about your work, then I think we need to seriously think and do some work again. Because even if you don't have any paid work at the moment, and even if you're retired and plan on never working again, it's the Lord Jesus that we're serving. We don't get to retire or go on holidays from serving him. And all of us might do different things during the week. But do you see this passage is saying that all of us have the same master? We need to rethink what this means for us. We serve Jesus, so we serve our earthly masters. We please the Lord by serving other people, but we're not people pleasers. You see, there's a very big difference. We serve people because we serve the Lord, but we serve the Lord, not people. Martin Luther said it like this: we are servants to all, but we are slaves to none. So when it comes to everything, whatever it is that you're doing, whatever your occupation or preoccupation, if you're a Christian, you serve the Lord Jesus. Your work, your boss, your job title, it doesn't define you. Only our heavenly master gets to do that. So we obey our earthly masters in everything because we have another master who is in heaven. Are you giving your boss the obedience that they deserve? Are you working heartily in what you do? Because even if your heart's not in your work, Jesus says our hearts belong to him. So set your heart on things above because that's where your reward is coming from. And if you're a boss, I mean, if people work for you, then the Lordship of Jesus has something to say to you as well. Look there with me, chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. You see, friends, even masters are answerable to the man upstairs. So treat your staff the way you want God to treat you. This is the ideal. This is what a Christian looks like. G.K. Chesterton once said this: the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and left untried. It feels like an impossible ask, doesn't it? You know, we read a passage like this one and we hear a sermon like the one I've just given and we only focus on what we are meant to do with it. We can only think about how much we've failed at home and at work, with our families, with our bosses, with our workmates, how many times we've gotten all of this so wrong. But I want you to realize something if you haven't already, and that is this passage isn't really about you. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Slaves, obey your masters, fearing the Lord, working heartily as for the Lord. Masters have a master in heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ we're serving. You see, it's all about Jesus. He's the Lord. He's the head and ruler over all things. All things created through him and for him are now all the things that he is reconciling and putting back together for himself. At home, at work, in your marriage, in your family. Jesus must be the Lord of everything that we do. Is everything in your life being reconciled to Jesus? Or are there still things that you hold at a distance from him? Can you see this morning a disconnect between your confession and your character, between your belief and your behavior? Well, if you can, God our Father has compassion on his children. And he's already done the impossible for us. You see, here's how we get our house in order again. By coming to our Father in heaven again, 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 asking him for his compassionate mercy. The Lordship of Jesus isn't some lofty idea. The new creation is lived out in everything that we do. So let's pray together that it will. Heavenly Father, this passage seems very difficult. It's hard to surrender ourselves to another. It's hard to submit ourselves to someone else. It's hard to obey. It's hard to respect and honor. And yet we thank you, Lord God, that that's what you've called us to do, because Jesus is our Lord. And so we pray that we would show his lordship over us in our relationships with one another, at home, at work, towards our children, towards our parents. Help us, Heavenly Father, to live lives that display and reflect the love and likeness of the lordship of Jesus. Lord Jesus, this is a passage for people who believe that you are their Lord. It's not for everybody. But for those of us who confess his lordship over us, would you help us, please, to live this way? Because for far too long, our world sees inconsistency. Lord, we want to acknowledge our own inconsistencies this morning, our own failure, where we haven't submitted or surrendered or obeyed. Our Father, we thank you that you are compassionate and that you have compassion on your children. So we come to you again asking for your forgiveness. Help us now to live as new creation people. People who are being changed by you, Lord, being renewed in the likeness of our Creator. And we ask that in living this way, those around about us, whether it be at home or in our neighbourhoods, might see that we are different. They might see that our lives reflect a different priority to theirs. That we hold at our heart the lordship of Jesus over all things. May our lives and our actions and our words be cause for others to ask about Jesus. Would you do that amongst us, Lord God? Would you help us to be those people? People who live as those who've been remade and renewed and reconciled in your Son. For we ask all of these things in his precious name. Amen.